طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our 19th session of Medina Book 1. And today we're going to be doing lesson number 11, inshallah. And hopefully we're going to finish lesson number 11 today, inshallah. Since it's not a long lesson. And hopefully we're going to look at lesson number 12, at least. And what it contains, have some discussion about what's in lesson number 12, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Before, na'am. That's a question? Tuhibbu or at-tuhibbu? At-tuhibbu lugataka. Na'am. Fine, inshallah we'll come to that. Tuhibbu. I'm sorry. Atuhibbu lugataka. Naam. That's why. It's objective verb. Tayyib. But that's in lesson number 11. I was trying to think of a verb that maybe we had that could have been used there. But in lesson 11, naam is the first time. Okay. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, as I said, we're doing, this is our 19th session, and this is from book one, and today we're going to do lesson number 11. And before the Salat, Ahmed had asked a question that we were trying to explain, related to something that's in the lesson for lesson number 11. But in any case, before we do lesson number 11, I do want to review what we covered, because before the Salat, even though it's not specifically a part of the lesson, but it's something that I think, inshallah, will be helpful to all of us. First of all, his question was, he was wondering why this word lugha, normally we said it should take, at the end of a word, it should take a dhamma, right? Unless something changes it. So I was saying that any noun, except it's from the exceptional ones, the special nouns that have some special rules that we haven't talked about yet. But normally nouns, they can take any vowel, dhamma, kasra, or fatha. Okay? The original rule is that a noun should take dhamma. Dhamma, if a noun ends with dhamma, that means that it's marfoon. Okay? We say that the case ending, the i'rab of a noun is indicated by the vowel that it ends with. If the vowel that it ends with is a dhamma, we say that it's marfu'un. If it ends with a kasra, we say it's majrurun. And if it ends with a fatha, we say it's mansubun. Most of the time, it's going to be marfu'un. Unless it's in a sentence where there's something before it that acts upon it and changes it from being marfu'un with a dhamma to something else. Okay? So for example, in lesson 4 we had prepositions like ila, min, fi, and ala, right? So if one of those prepositions comes before a word, it's going to change it from dhamma to kasra, because it's going to be what? Majrurun. Majrurun is indicated by kasra, okay? But if there was a verb before it, then that will make it become mansubun. And when it's mansub, the sign that it's mansub is that it has a fatha. So originally, even though it has dhamma, if there's a preposition before it, it will change it to kasra. And if there's a verb before it, that it's the object of the verb, it's going to change it to fatha. So a noun, it can take any one of these verbs normally. Fatha, kasra, or dhamma. But most of the time, it's going to be dhamma. If there's something changing it, if it's the object of a preposition, it's going to become majrur, and that's the sign that it's majrur is that it's going to take kasra. If it's the object of a verb, meaning the action of the verb is acting upon that noun, then it's going to change it to being mansub, and the sign that it's mansub is going to be that it takes fatha. Okay? So, Ahmed was asking why, normally it should have a dhamma, why did it have a fatha? So I said, probably if it had a fatha, it's because maybe it's in a sentence, and in that sentence there's a verb that's acting upon it. If it's the object of the verb, then it will be mansub, and it will take fatha. So this fatha came from what? When he went back and checked it, he found that there's a verb there. And it's the object of the verb, and therefore it becomes mansub and it takes fatta. That's in lesson number 11. We're going to talk about that, inshallah, today. Okay? But the other thing that I want to mention right now, that in the course of our discussion before the salat we came across, is that the Arabic language is divided into three types of speech. Okay? Three types of speech. And those three types of speech are fi'l, which is a verb, ism, which is a noun, and harf. And harf, which is a particle. Now, there are different types of particles, but the one that we have seen so far are prepositions. That's what basically we have seen. We've seen some other things, but mainly we see prepositions. As far as nouns, they're all different type of nouns. Okay? They're different types of nouns. From amongst the nouns that we have seen so far, adjectives are not, right? We talked about not and man'ut. So adjectives are also part of nouns. And from amongst the nouns, there are adjectives. And there are others, but this is what we have seen so far. Okay? And verbs, also there are different types of verbs. There's past tense verb, there's present tense verb, and there's any, well, command form. And when you give somebody a command to do something. Because the present and future form is basically the same in Arabic. Except that you might have seen to indicate future, or you might use the word saufa. Okay, so these are the three parts of speech, okay? I don't want to go into this in detail, but I mentioned it, and I just want to make sure that everybody has some idea what we're talking about. Okay, so they're verbs, they're nouns, and they're particles. Verbs, nouns, and particles. What is a noun? Noun is the name, right, of a person, place, or thing, basically. Okay, thing could be a concept also, right? Person, place, or thing. The name of a person, place, or thing is a noun. Verb is an action word. In Arabic, it's an action word that also indicates time. Indicating time, meaning the time when the action happened. Is it happening now, happened in the past, and so on. Okay? So it has two elements. It indicates action, and it also indicates time, a verb. And the particle is everything else. Everything else. Yani everything that's left. Everything that's not the name of a person, place, or thing, or not, or an action word that indicates time. Ya Dawood. That's why I can't remember your name. Right? Okay. So what we have said right now is that what? We said that the Arabic has three parts of speech. They're verbs. It's called the fi'l. And these are action words that indicate time. And then there are nouns, including adjectives. And nouns are words that we say are the name of a person, or the name of a place, or the name of a thing. It's called a noun. So if it's not the name of a person, a place, or a thing, and it's not an action word indicating time, then everything else comes under harf. Everything else comes under harf. Okay, so what are you going to be looking for? If you want to know, is something a noun, is it an ism, or is it a verb, is it a fi'l? If you want to know, you're going to be looking to see, is it the name of a person, place, or thing? Or are you going to look to see if it's an action word that indicates time, past tense or present tense, and so on? Alright? Everything else is going to come under particles. Now, what I want to do now is I want to write a couple of sentences quickly, and I don't want to take the whole time of the class with this today. But I do want to take a couple of moments just to make sure you understand what we mean by ism, a fi'l, and a harf. For example, if we had the sentence, let's say we had this sentence, right? How do you say to go? Like, he went. Huh? ذهب. We had that in one of the previous lessons, right? ذهب. Okay, let's say ذهب. Who went? No, somebody. Give us the name of a person.
Muhammad.
Okay, Muhammad. Or, I mean, the student, the teacher, whatever, right? Somebody specific we want. ذهب Muhammadun. Where did he go? إلى المدرسة. Or the souk or whatever, right? إلى المدرسة. Okay, that's the sentence, right? Everybody knows the sentence?
Yes.
Huh? ذهب محمد إلى المدرسة. Anything in there we don't understand? It's clear, right? The meaning of it is clear?
Yes.
ذهب محمد إلى المدرسة. طيب. If I was to ask you, where's the فعل? The action word that indicates time, where is it at?
إلا.
ذهب. ذهب. He went. ذهب. That's action, right? He went. He came, he jumped, he ran, right? Okay. Is there any noun in this sentence?
Yes.
A noun, name of a person, place, or thing?
Yes.
Noun. What?
Muhammad.
Okay, Muhammad.
And also school.
And also school is the name of a person, place, or thing, right? So there are two nouns here.
Right.
Is Ila a noun, name of a person, place, or thing? Is it a verb, an action word? So what is Ila then?
Particle.
Is it clear?
Sure.
Okay. Good. Let's do another one. Give me another verb that we had in the class. Huh? A verb, an action word. Kharaja. 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 We're going to say the teacher, the engineer, the student, the boy, what? Who? Kharaja. Who kharaja? Huh?
Muhandis.
Al-Muhandis. We know the word Muhandis? Everybody knows Muhandis? What does Muhandis mean?
Engineer.
Taib. Muhand. I'm sorry, this should be a new one. Here. Muhandis. Al-Muhandisu. Okay, he went out. From where? Where did he go out from?
Al-Bayt?
From the Bayt. He went out from the Bayt. طيب, he went out from the Bayt. Okay. خرج المهندس من البيت. Good? خرج المهندس من البيت. What does it mean? The engineer went out
of the house.
Okay, where's the action word, the fi'l? خرج. Are there any nouns in this sentence? Name of a person, place, or thing? Engineer is a noun.
And house.
And house is the name of a person, place, or thing, right? Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, what about min? Is min a verb indicating action or time and place? It's not a verb.
No.
It's not a verb?
No.
Could it be a noun, though? Could it be the name of a person, place, or thing?
No.
No. So that means it is what? Harf. Means it's a harf. Harf. Fayyib? Maybe you can hang your coat up here or take one of these hangers. Inshallah. Fayyib? Alright. I want somebody to give me a simple sentence. A simple sentence, like these sentences, that from the words that we have studied, in the chapters that we have studied. Give me a simple sentence. Somebody volunteer to give me a simple sentence. Who wants to volunteer? I need more than one hand, because I want to choose. Daoud. Uh-huh. Ahmed. Who else? Who else can give me a simple sentence, like these sentences here? Huh? Bilal. Okay, Daoud, go ahead. He's the brave one. The young people, they don't know any better. They just jump off the building. They don't know how high it is or anything. Go ahead.
She went to school.
She went to, who is she? Give a, like, make her a nurse, a doctor, a teacher, something. Huh?
Or,
okay, name her Mariam. Okay. Okay. Mariam went, right? Okay, where did she go?
School.
She went to school? She went to school. Okay, who can help me with what's missing from this sentence? Huh? What's the verb? What's the verb for this sentence, Ya Daoud? In Arabic. You see how young people jump off the building and they don't know if it's the sixth floor or the second floor. Help them, somebody, please. Huh? We need a fail. What fail? What he said? What's the fail that he used? Dhahaba. Dhahaba. Okay. Dhahaba Maryamu ila al-madrasati. Jayid? Dhahaba Maryamu ila al-madrasati. Are there any nouns in this sentence, Ya Daoud?
Yes.
Tell me, where's the noun?
Maryam.
Maryam is a noun, name of a person, place, or thing. Tayyib, Ya Daoud. Is there any other noun in this sentence besides Maryam?
School.
Is that a guess?
No.
Sounds like a question. School? Are you sure?
Yes.
Tayyib, we'll go with you then. Are there any verbs in this sentence? Where? What is a verb? Without looking on the board. Help that with somebody, please.
Action.
It's an action word, but what else? There's two elements to a verb. What else?
Time.
Has to indicate time. Has to indicate time. So this is a verb, right? Ya Daoud. What is this ila? Is it a verb or a noun? A noun, he said first, and then a verb. Somebody help him. Is it a noun or a verb?
Neither.
Ya Daoud. Is this the name of a person, place, or thing?
No.
It's not a noun. Is it an action word?
Yes.
What action does it indicate? Is it an action word? No. It's not a noun. It's not an action word. It doesn't indicate action. It doesn't indicate time. So it's nothing left except it has to be a particle, harf. Okay, so what's the point here, okay? This is not our lesson for today, okay? But our point is, you have to begin to think now that Arabic has three parts. The action words that indicate time. Two elements. It has to indicate action, it has to indicate time. Now. Allahu Akbar. The sisters, they are helping us. But if they were not here, what would we do?
Yeah.
He was going to say something, but he let the sisters correct us. Allahu Akbar.
Yep.
Zahabat Maryam. Jazakallah khair for the sisters' help. And Abdul Kareem, Allahu Akbar. He just let us fall off the building, crash down without any springs or mats. He knew the sisters would save us. He knew they would bail us out. Now, Ya Daoud, this is your sentence, okay? Zahabat Maryamu ila al-madrasati. You should be able to explain to us your sentence. Where's the verb? Where's the noun? Where's the particle? All right? Okay, explain it to us now. Where's the verb? Where's the noun? Where's the particle?
The noun is Maryam.
And al-madrasa.
The particle is ila.
The harf is ila.
And the verb is went.
And the verb is went. In Arabic, which one is it? You don't know when to the Arabic? Can you read what's up here on the board? Can you see the board? What does it say right here? Huh? Does it say that? You looking at me or looking at the word? Zahabat. Bata, right? Okay, alhamdulillah. Alright, so the point here that we're trying to make from the brother's question before the salat. Alaykum salam. Is that it's important for us to know the parts of speech in Arabic. And when we are reading from now on, I want you to pay attention. When you see a verb, when you see a noun, try to identify them. And when you see a particle, whether it's a preposition or otherwise. Alright? Pay attention to that. It's very important. This is the foundation of the language. The last thing that I want to say is that any noun, it's case ending. What do we mean by case ending? That it's marfu'un, or it's majrurun, or it's mansubun. The case ending is indicated by what? Which vowel? Which vowel? The vowel that's at the end of the word. But the end of the word here is dhamma, right? The end of the word here is dhamma. And the word here is tanween. And the word here is kasra. Here is kasra. Here is kasra. Right? The end of the noun tells us if it's dhamma, it's marfu'un. If it's kasra, it's what?
Majrurun.
And if it's fatta, as we'll see in today's lesson 11, it's mansubun. This also you have to know. You have to know. The vowel ending, what is this case? Is it marfu'un, majrurun, or mansubun? Normally we say that nouns are always marfu'un, all the time, unless there's something acting upon it to change it. Either there's a preposition before it, like here, ila, or here, min. Those are prepositions, right? So the preposition changes it from dhamma to kasra. And as we'll see in today's lesson, if there's a verb before it acting upon it, it's the object of the action of the verb, then it will change it to fatta, it will be mansub. Okay, so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But the main thing is pay attention to the end of the word. And also remember that if a pronoun is added to the end of the word, the pronoun, although it's attached in writing to the word, it's not a part of the word. Okay? Kitab ends with ba. If you put a pronoun on it, you say kitabuhu, or kitabuha, or kitabuka, the end of the word is still ba. That ka, or hu, or ha, is a pronoun that we are writing attached to the word, but it's not a part of the word. That's very important to remember. Don't get confused by the pronoun that we attach to a noun. The noun is kitab. The pronoun is ka, or hu, or ha, or whatever pronoun it is. Okay? So that's what we talked about before the salat. And inshallah, now we'll look at the lesson. As we go to the lesson, I just want to remind you that you received the homework assignment, right? And also a reminder that you should have, number one, written out the exercises from lesson number 10 that we finished in last week in class. You should have written out those exercises 6, 7, 8, and 9 that we did in class last week. And then you should have reread the key for this lesson number 11. Two pages, 28 and 29. And the dialogue on page 61, the Arabic dialogue. And I asked you to read it several times. In fact, in the reminder, or in the preparation email, preparation for the class, I asked you to write it out, to write out the dialogue for lesson 11. And read it as many times as possible. And also listen to the audio and do the exercises for lesson number 11, that is exercise 1 and 2. If you had done that, then inshallah the lesson should be very simple for you today. And if you have not done it, may Allah make it easy for you to do your homework next time. Tayyip, any question before we go into lesson number 11? Any question about lesson number 10? Anything that we covered in the last two classes for lesson number 10? Any question? Tayyip, lesson number 11 is a brief dialogue. And we read the key for it last week. I asked you to reread it for homework, and I'm just going to look at it quickly in case it might not be fresh in your mind before we go into the dialogue. It says on page 28 of the key, English key for lesson number 11, and this is a revision lesson, meaning there's really everything that's in this lesson is from what we have studied previously in lessons 1 through 10. Okay, so there are prepositions, there are pronouns, there's idafa, there's adjectives, there's all kind of things that we took in the first 10 lessons, in this lesson, number 11. So this dialogue really is intended for what? It's intended to help you remember the things that we studied in the first 10 lessons. The only thing new in it is three things. The verb, uhibbu, which means I love, and the preposition fi, with the pronouns who and ha. You have fihi and fiha. There's nothing else in this lesson that's new. This is all that we had previously. Fihi means in it or in him, and fiha means in it or in her. And uhibbu means I love, okay? So uhibbu is a verb. And another form of the verb is tuhibbu. Uhibbu means I love, and tuhibbu means you love. Okay, so this, if we see this, uhibbu, if we see this, that means I love. Like, for example, a person says, uhibbu Allah. Uhibbu Allah. Uhibbu Allah. What does that mean? Uhibbu Allah. I love Allah. If a person says, uhibbu Rasulullah, that means what? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I love the Messenger of Allah. If a person says, uhibbu ummi, uhibbu abi, like this, okay? This is the meaning of uhibbu. That's when you're talking about yourself. But if you're talking to someone, in this case, an individual male, you say, tuhibbu, tuhibbu. Like Ahmed gave us that example that caused this whole discussion before the class. If you said, tuhibbu, that means you're saying to him, you love. And if you wanted to ask a question, you would put hamzatul istifham in front of it to make it into a question, right? You say, atuhibbu Allah? Wa alaykum salam. Atuhibbu Allah? That means what? Do you love Allah? Alright? So this is basically what this lesson is dealing with. It's giving us this verb, the verb to love, uhibbu. If you're talking about yourself, first person, talking directly to another brother, you say, tuhibbu. And the other forms of the verb will be taken sometime in the future. But in any case, this verb is introduced here. And also we have in it the preposition fi with he. Fi, he. And we have fiha. Fiha. He, originally, is the preposition who that we had in the last lesson. Who. Who means what? It's a preposition, right, that indicates possession or ownership. Okay, you say kitabuhu, right? Kitabuhu. Kitabuhu means what? His book. Baytuhu. Baytuhu means what? His house. Okay? Whenever this preposition, I mean this pronoun, who, whenever it's preceded by kasra or ya with sukoon, who becomes he. Whenever it's preceded by what? Kasra or ya with sukoon. Who becomes he. That's how we have here, instead of fi hu, we have fi he. So pay attention to that. That he really is originally who. It became kasra because it's preceded by kasra or ya with sukoon. Huh? How you pronounce it? Fi he. Naam, fi he. Fihi. Okay. I don't want you to raise your hands, but I'm going to ask a question. You can answer to yourself. All right? Who did all of the homework from the last class? I don't want you to raise your hands. Just answer to yourself. This is a question for you. I'm asking you for your own self. I don't need to know. Who did all of the homework last week? Including writing out the dialogue for today's lesson. Including writing out the dialogue for today's lesson. Wa alaykum salam. Who did some of the homework? Some of it. Most of it. Tayyib. Whoever did all of the homework, mashallah, may Allah increase you in knowledge. And may Allah bless your efforts and your time, reward it, inshallah. And hopefully your intention is, as always, that we're trying to learn this Arabic language in order to read the book of Allah and to study the deen of Allah. Homework is very important. The amount of homework that we have is not really a lot. If a person spends 20 minutes to half an hour every day, they can easily do all the homework that we have. Basically, you had to write out the exercises that we did in class last week, and you had to do the exercises for lesson number 11. And I think the exercises for lesson number 11 are only two exercises. That's it. You could have probably done both of them in one sitting, in a half an hour, or maybe a little longer, depending on how slow you write. If you've been practicing writing, with every lesson, doing the homework, writing out the exercises, inshallah, your writing skills should be well enough for you to write this out quickly. Okay, so now lesson number 11 has a brief dialogue, and we're going to make it into an examination. All right, so alhamdulillah, I actually read it several times. I hope you did that. I actually write it out. I hope you also did that. And now we're going to have an examination on it. It's an easy examination. As usual, you can mark your own self. So inshallah, be generous. But be honest. Mark yourself. And if you do well, alhamdulillah. If you don't do well, try to work a little bit harder. Okay, the first part of the exam is comprehension. First part of the exam is comprehension. Inshallah, I'm going to read the lesson to you. I want you to translate it for me. I'm going to read the lesson. I want you to translate it. Don't try to read it now, okay? Just close your books and listen. Lesson number 11, page 61. Ad-Darsu al-Hadiya Ashara. 11th lesson. Bayti. This is the title of the lesson. Bayti. What is this lesson about?
The house.
The house or my house?
My house.
Bayti. What is Bayti? Bayt. And the pronoun, ya al-mutakallam, which represents ana, Bayti, my house. Tayyib. In this lesson, we're going to be talking about your house. So act as though this is talking, this is you speaking. You are speaking in this lesson, okay? Everything that's being said is you saying it. Because it's about what? My house. Okay, so if I ask you a question about this, answer from the lesson as though you are the one who said this. Alright? Act like you are the one speaking. You have written this, and now I'm reading it, and then I'm going to ask you some questions about it. Hada Bayti. Bayti Amam al Masjidi. Bayti Jamilun. Fihi Hadiqatun Saghiratun. Stop. Now I want you to translate. Hada Bayti. This is my house. Bayti Amam al Masjidi. My house is in front of the masjid. Bayti Amam al Masjidi. Huh? Front of the masjid. Bayti Jamilun. My house is beautiful. Jayyid. Fihi hadiqatun saghiratun. In it is a small room or garden. Hadiqa is room or garden. Hadiqa. Garden. What is room? Gurfa. Fihi hadiqatun saghiratun. Fihi means what? In it. Referring to what? It. It is refers to what?
The house.
The house. The house. We're talking about what? My house. Fihi, in it, in my house, is what? Hadiqatun, a garden. Saghiratun, small garden. Tayyib. Hada gurfati. What's wrong with this sentence? Hada. Jayyid. Jayyid. Wake up. Wake up. Hadihi gurfati. Gurfa is masculine or feminine? Hada is masculine or feminine? Masculine. So what's the feminine of hada? Hadihi. Hadihi gurfati. What does it mean? This is my room. Fiha nafidhatun kabiratun. وَمِرْوَحَةٌ جَمِيلَةٌ نعم فيها نافذةٌ كبيرةٌ. What does it mean? In it is a big window. نافذة. نافذة. نافذةٌ كبيرةٌ. وَمِرْوَحَةٌ جَمِيلَةٌ. And A beautiful what?
Fan.
Fan. Mirwaha. That. Mirwahatun jamilatun. Fiha. The pronoun ha refers back to what?
The room.
Huh? The ghurfa. Ghurfa is feminine. Ha is for feminine, right? Remember we wrote what? Fihi and fiha. Fihi means in it or him, masculine. And fiha means in it or her, feminine. The feminine is mirwahatun. Al-mirwahatun, if we go back and look at the lesson, we see it's written with tarmabuta. And tarmabuta indicates what? Femininity. Naam. Al-mirwaha is feminine. Al-ghurfa is feminine. Al-bayt is masculine or feminine?
Masculine.
Masculine, masculine, masculine. Al-bayt. Fayyib. Fiha nafidhatun kabiratun wa mirwahatun jamilatun. هذا سريري وهذا كرسي وهذا مكتبي هذا سريري. What does this mean?
This is my bed.
سرير. We had this in lesson number one. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brother, somebody give the brother a chair. Somebody give the brother a chair. Is one over there? Oh, give him that one. طيب. هذا صريري وهذا كرسي and this is my chair وهذا مكتبي and this is my desk المكتب. What is another meaning of مكتب besides a desk or a table?
Writing desk or table.
Writing desk other than a desk or a table means what? Office. Office. What about the library? What's the word for library?
Maktaba.
Huh? Maktabatun with tarmabuta. Maktaba. Maktabatun. Remember the difference between maktab, maktabun, and maktabatun. Maktabun means an office or desk or table, and maktabatun means a library or
bookstore.
A bookstore. Library or bookstore. A library or bookstore. Maktabun. مكتبتون وترمبوتة طيب هذا سريري وهذا كرسي وهذا مكتبي ساعتي وقلمي وكتابي على المكتبي ساعتي وقلمي وكتابي على المكتبي. Now what's the meaning of ساعتي? What's the meaning of كتابي? طيب ساعتي وقلمي وكتابي على المكتب. What is the meaning?
My watch,
my pen, and my book are on the desk or the table. حقيبتي تحت المكتب. حقيبتي تحت المكتب. What is the meaning? My bag or briefcase is under the table or desk. نافذة غرفتي مفتوحة نافذة غرفتي مفتوحة وعليكم السلام. The window of my room is مفتوحة is open. مفتوح means open. مفتوحة نافذة غرفتي مفتوحة. The window of my room is open. طيب. هذه غرفة أخي. هذه غرفة أخي. This is the room of my brother or this is my brother's room. Either way. وتلك غرفة أختي. وتلك غرفة أختي. And that is the room of my sister or my sister's room. طيب. غرفة أخي كبيرة وغرفة أختي صغيرة. My brother's room is big and my sister's room is little. نعم. غرفة أخي كبيرة كبيرة وغرفة أختي صغيرة صغيرة. غرفتو أخي أمام غرفتي. غرفتو أخي أمام غرفتي. The room of my brother is in front of غرفتي. My room. وغرفتو أختي أمام المطبخ. وغرفتو أختي أمام المطبخ. The room of my sister is in front of the what? المطبخ, the kitchen. طيب, لي أخ واحد. لي أخ واحد. I have one brother. اسمه أسامة. His name is أسامة. ولي أخت واحدة. And I have one sister. اسمها سعاد. Her name is سعاد. أبي وأمي في تلك الغرفة الكبيرة. أبي وأمي في تلك الغرفة الكبيرة. أبي وأمي, my father and my mother, في تلك الغرفة الكبيرة. In that big room. أنا أحب أبي وأمي. I love my father and my mother. وأحب أخي وأختي. And I love my brother and my sister. طيب, inshallah, you can grade yourself. You can give yourself ممتاز, excellent. If you did well, if you understood most of it, you get excellent. If you understood most of it, that's excellent, alhamdulillah. If you understood a lot of it, that's jayid, jiddan, very good, mashallah. If you understood at least half of it, jayid, alhamdulillah. If you understood less than that, you gotta do some more work. Because this text here, this dialogue, or this text, was intended as an examination. And that's why I told you last week before we left class to read it. And I sent you a reminder asking you to read it several times. And I sent you another reminder asking you to write it out. Okay? And this, the test is not just to test how much you know, but the other part of the test is to see if you will follow instructions. That's a test also. Huh? Because if there's nobody standing over you watching you, the human being has an inclination not to do anything that looks like work. But Allah is always watching us. Allah is Ar-Raqib. That's one of the names of Allah that we wrote on the board. Ar-Raqib. Huh? The All-Seer. He's also the All-Seer. Naam, but that's not Ar-Raqib. That's what? Al-Basir. Naam. Naam. Jayid, ya Dawood. How many names of Allah do you know? Give us 10. Al-Raqib. Say Al-Raqib, Al-Basir. You got 2 already. Come on. Al-Rahman. Al-Razzaq. What about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Al-Rahim. Al-Malik. Al-Quddus. Al-Mu'min. Al-Muhaymin. Al-Aziz. Al-Jabbar. Allahu Akbar, Ya Dawood. Taib. Anybody got an extra piece of cake or pie around here? Give him a bean pie or something, man. When the class is over, Dawood, collect your pay. Jayid. Okay. This dialogue, as I said, is intended as an examination. You know, it's a review of what we covered in previous lessons. It includes pronouns, prepositions, idafa, What else? Naat and man'oot, and so many other things that we had. Okay, so if a person can read this dialogue, this text, if you can read it, and you can understand the meaning of the words, and you can understand the grammatical points in this lesson, then inshallah, that means you have a good grasp on what we have covered so far. If you found some difficulty with this, then, you know, it means that you have to do a little more work. Try to go back and review. Inshallah, we're going to do the exercises, two exercises, and then we may, you know, look at this dialogue again for some of the grammatical points, just to clarify and make sure that we understand what is here. Okay, first exercise, tamreen al-awwal, ikra waktub. Ikra waktub. What do we have to do? Read and write. Okay, you can look at the book now. Okay, open up your book and look at your book. Page 61, Arabic text of the book. Ikra waktub. First sentence. Who take the first one? Read the first one. Naam, Ahmed. Man fi hadha al-bayti. Now, what does that mean?
Who's in the house?
Who is in the house?
Who is in this house?
Who is in this house? Hadha al-bayti. Who is in this house? Naam. What's the answer?
Fihi
hamidin wa hamidun. I'm just asking. This is part of our work. Fihi Hamidun or Hamidin?
It's Hamidun.
Now, who disagrees with him? They're all in agreement with you. Alhamdulillah. Look, fi is a harf jar, right? But what is the object of the preposition in this case? The pronoun. The pronoun is the object of the preposition. Fihi.
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect Hamid, because Hamid is not the object of the preposition. But he is the object of the preposition. Fihi hamidun. Okay, who take the second one? Naam, Ibrahim.
Mada fil
haqibati. Why is it haqibati? Al haqibati. Because fi is harf ja. Fi al haqibati. Naam. What does it mean? Mada fil haqibati.
What's in the bag?
What's in the briefcase? Al haqiba. Naam. Answer. فيها كتابي وقلمي ودفتري. What is the meaning?
In it is my book and my pen and my notebook.
In it is my book and my pen and my notebook. Type فيها كتابي وقلمي ودفتري. Why is it فيها and not فيه? Because حقيبه is what, يا أحمد?
مذكر.
He said مذكر. I'm asking you.
Oh,
okay. I'm trying to get some help, man. Because al-haqiba is mu'annath, it's feminine. So the pronoun referring to feminine is not who, it's ha, right? Fiha. Ha is referring back to al-haqiba. Haqiba is feminine. How do we know it's feminine? Tarmabuta. That's clear. It's tarmabuta, it's feminine. Okay, next page. Question number sentence number three. Who take it? Naam, Sadiq.
Man fi
sayyarati. What does it mean?
Who is in the car?
Who is in the car? If you wanted to say what is in the car, what would you say? Remember lesson number one, right? In lesson number one, we had two things. We had hadha and ma hadha, right? It's okay, but we want to go back to lesson number one. In lesson number one, we had hadha and we had ma hadha. And we also had man hadha and we had ahadha. Remember, we had four questions. Ma, men, and we had ah. Okay? Ma hadha, man hadha, ahadha. Three questions. Right. If I wanted to say ma, I mean, if I wanted to say what is in the car, I would say what? Ma fi sayyarati. But here we said men fi sayyarati, right? Man fi sayyarati. Fayyib. What's the answer?
Fiha abi wa ummi wa akhi wa ukhti.
Fiha abi wa ummi, we shed on the meme, right? Wa akhi wa ukhti. Fiha refers back to what?
The car.
refers back to السيارة. And السيارة is masculine or feminine?
Feminine.
So we have to use the pronoun for feminine, which is ها, right? كتابها, بيتها. نعم, فيها. فيها أبي وأمي وأخي وأختي. What does it mean, yes, Sadiq?
In it, my father, my mother, my brother, my sister.
In it is my father, my mother, my brother, my sister. Okay, number four. Who take number four? Number four. Who didn't read yet? Somebody who didn't read yet. Number four. Shall I volunteer somebody? Naam, Ibrahim.
Min fi man fi man fi masjidu.
Man fi masjidi?
Man fi masjidi. جامعتي.
نعم الجامعتي.
جامعتي الآن.
آنا.
آنا.
Yeah, it's a long vowel. جامعتي الآن. نعم. Answer.
ما فيه.
أحد. من في مسجد الجامعة الآن؟ ما فيه أحد. What's the meaning of this question, يا حنيف؟ من في مسجد الجامعة الآن؟ Who is in which masjid? Masjid al-Jamia. What's the meaning of al-Jamia? The Jamia is the university. Man fi masjid al-Jamia. What does that mean? The university masjid or the masjid of the university. What's the meaning of al-ana? Al-an, right now. Who is in the masjid of the Jamia or the Jamia masjid al-an? The answer, ما فيه أحد. ما فيه أحد. What's the meaning of ما فيه? ما فيه. There is no one in it. ما فيه أحد. ما is negation. فيه, in it, أحد. There is not anyone in it. No one at all. طيب. Remember we had ما. In the previous lesson we said that there's two types of ما. Remember? The first ma we had in lesson number one is ma al-istifham. Ma asking a question. What? The question. The ma that we had in the last lesson is ma nafiya of negation. Ma that's negation. Ma dhahabtu. What does ma dhahabtu mean?
I did not go.
Ma dhahabtu. Naam. Ma kharajtu. Ma akaltu. Means negation. I did not go out. I did not eat, and so on. طيب, who take number five? Hanif.
من في هذه الغرفة.
من في هذه الغرفة. Answer.
فيها المدير.
فيها المدير. Hold it. Slow down. نعم. Is it المدير فيها? Okay, look.
Mudir.
Yeah, but the mudir, should it take kasra or dhamma? Remember our original rule, right? Nouns always take dhamma. If you're not sure, right, about a noun, put dhamma on it. Khalas. If you have to guess dhamma. Unless something is changing it. Fi is a preposition. Is the object of the preposition mudir or ha? Is the object of this preposition mudir or ha?
Ha.
Ha. Ha is the object of the preposition. So there's nothing changing mudir from its original rule of Dhamma. So it remains Dhamma. Okay? Fiha al mudiru. Fiha al mudiru. Fayyib? Okay, last exercise. Exercise number two. Tamrin Thani. Iqra. This is a reading exercise. And this exercise here is designed for us to pay attention to the use of the verb uhibbu. Uhibbu. And we want to remember here a rule. This is a rule that we have not had before. Okay, so pay attention to this rule. Okay, we said that nouns normally end with dhamma. Okay? Like if we have this noun, talked about this in the beginning before Salat. Al-Baytu, right? Al-Baytu. Same thing if we had this one. Al-Madrasatu, right? Al-Madrasatu. We have another one. Do we know As-Suq?
Yeah.
As-Suq, right? As-Suqu. All of these are nouns, and the original rule is that they should have dhamma. But what if there was before it another word? Like, suppose we had this word before it. Or we had this word before it. Or we had this word before it. Right? Suppose we changed it, and instead of this word being by itself, which is the original rule, it takes dhamma, but now we have before it another word, like we have min. So if somebody said, min al-baytu, what do we say to him? No? Why? What's wrong? He said, min al-bayti. Why does it change from dhamma to kasra? Because majroor. Because min is a preposition, so it makes it majroor. What about ila? Ila al-madrasatu. Same thing. Same problem. Ila is a preposition. It makes it majroor. It has to take kasra. And fissuqi. Fissuqi. Suqi is okay? Okay. Because this is a preposition, right? So what we said then, nouns normally, naturally you say fissuqi. You can't say it any other way. It doesn't sound like you say fissuqu. Doesn't sound right. You know, automatically, if you're not thinking, you're automatically supposed to say fissuqi. That's if you get used to it. When you hear a preposition, your brain automatically makes it kasra. That's when you get used to it. That's why you got to practice reading. That's why you have homework all the time, reading. Writing. Right? Your ear gets trained to hearing fissuqi. You hear fissuqi, it doesn't sound right. That's if you've been listening to the audio files. If you've been listening to the audio files and you get used to hearing it one way, when you hear it different, it doesn't sound right. Like when somebody says to you, Salaam Alaikum. That's not what you're used to hearing. You notice, when you hear that, you immediately look up. Like, who's that? Something wrong, right? Salaam Alaikum. What is that? Because you're not used to hearing that. So you know it's something wrong. So when you hear this like this, fissuqu, it doesn't sound right. If you get used to hearing it right. Okay, so you have to train yourself. So we said, originally nouns have dhamma. But if there's a preposition before them, or if it's the second part of idafa, mudafun ilay, then it has to take kasra. So likewise, there are some things that may change a noun from dhamma, not to kasra, but to fatha. And what changes it is when you have a verb, like uhibbu. Okay? This is a verb. Uhibbu. Huh? Uhibbu. Uhibbu al-mudira. Right? This love, I love. Who is it that I love? The headmaster. This love is going to who? To this person, al-mudir. So the mudir is the object of the verb, the one that the action of the verb happened to. And the object of the verb is always going to be mansub. And the sign that a word is mansub is fatha. The object of the verb is always going to be mansub. And we talked previously about the case endings. We said that normally nouns are marfu'un with dhamma, but sometimes something may change them to become majroor with kasra. And we said two things makes it do that we had so far, or three actually. Three things, but two of them are really the same, so we say two. One of them is that there's a preposition before it, and the other one is that it's mudafun ilayh. The mudaf ilay, it always takes kasra, it's majroor. Now we're saying that here's a case when a word becomes mansoob, and the sign that it's mansoob is that it takes fatah. When is that? When it's the object of a verb. When it's the object of a verb, then it becomes mansoob and it takes fatah. So for example, we have in this lesson, we have uhibbu Allah ha uhibbu Allah uhibbu Allah. I love Allah. The love is directed towards Allah. So Allah is the object of the verb, the one that the action of the verb occurs to. Alright? And the action of the verb, if it falls upon a noun, that noun is mansub, it takes fatha. We say, for example, uhibbu Rasulullah. Rasulullah, right? The object of the verb here is what? Rasul. Rasulullah. Right? So the object of the verb is mansub, it takes fatha. And this word here, coming after, it takes kasra. Why? Uhibbu Rasulullahi. Why is it Rasulullahi? Huh? Because it is mudafun, mudafun ilayhi. Mudafun, mudafun ilayhi. Rasulullahi, the messenger of Allah. Huh? Baytullahi, right? Baytullahi. Why? Mudafun, mudafun ilayhi. Okay? Now. This is, no, it's not mudafa, mudafa ilayh. This is, I love Allah. Mudafa, idafa, usually we said that it's not mandatory, but the easiest translation of a word that's in idafa is of, use of. The house of Allah. The messenger of Allah. Huh? Showing some kind of relationship. Could be possession, ownership, but not always. It could be showing that something is a part of something, or something is related to something. Okay? You say the daughter of Ahmed. The daughter of Ahmed. He doesn't own his daughter. Not really. This is not slavery. No. But it's his daughter. She's related to him. There's a certain relationship, right? Mudaf, mudaf, ilay, idafa. Okay, it could be a part of something. Like you say, Babul Bayti. Babul Bayti, the door of the house. Miftahu Sayyarati. Miftahu Sayyarati. The key of the car. Okay? So, the key of the car, it doesn't mean the car owns the key. Rather, the one who owns the car also owns the key, right? So, it's not showing ownership, but it's showing that something is a part of something or related to it. Sometimes it's showing ownership or possession. Sometimes it's showing that something is a part of something else or related to something else or connected to it. Now.
You're doing that uhibbu. It makes the object. What if it has, what's the word, like a ya mutakallam on it, like,
yeah, we're going to come to that. He said if it has ya mutakallam. Okay, so that's the next step. We're going to go to, I'll answer your question now. Let me just make sure this part is clear, and then that's going to be the next step that I was going to mention. Okay, so we're saying here that the object of the verb, the noun that is receiving the action of the verb, is called the object of the verb. It's called maf'ulun. Huh? Bihi. Tayyib? The object of the verb is always mansoob. That means it has to take fatah. But there are some cases when the object of the verb is going to be mansoob, but it's not going to take kasra. And that is when you have a word that has ya al-mutakallam. That means ana. Ya al-mutakallam. When you have the preposition, we had the last lesson prepositions, right? We had who? We had ha, we had ka, and we had ya. Right? Kitabi, bayti, sayyarati, right? Akhi, ukhti, abi, ummi. This means my mother, my father, my brother, right? So when you have a word like that has ya al-mutakallam, right? For example, if we change this first sentence, take off alif lam, and we put ya here. This ya means what? Mudiri. What does ya here mean? Mudiri. My what?
Headmaster.
My principal. Right? Like your son comes home from school and he tells you, I love my principal. Especially if he goes to a Muslim school, right? And the principal is a good Muslim. So his children, they love the principal. They love their teacher, right? I love my teacher, mudarrisi, mudiri, whatever, like this, right? So here, this word, before it had al-mudir. It's the object of the verb. Object of the verb is mansub, takes fatta. But if you add ya, this ya, which means represents the first person, showing possession or ownership, or relationship that's related to me, right, the mudiri, my headmaster, my principal, ya al-mutakallam must always be preceded by kasra. Ya al-mutakallam must always be preceded by kasra. In this case, when you have ya al-mutakallam, in this case, this fatta that shows that it's mansub will be lost. It will be lost. Khalas, we won't find it. You won't see the fatta there. It's still the object of the verb. It's still mansub, but you're not going to see the fatta. This is a special case, right? Anytime a noun has ya al-mutakallam, you're saying my whatever, my mother, my father, my friend, my brother, my house, my car, anything. That's my, that ya al-mutakallam has to be preceded by kasra. You can't precede it with any other letter. Has to be preceded by kasra. In that case, the fatta that indicates mansub is going to be lost. If it was originally a dhamma, because it was marfu'un, like if it wasn't no min here and it was dhamma, right? If you put ya on it, instead of al-baytu, without this here, no preposition, right? If you take off al, then here, the dhamma would be lost. If you put ya al-mutakallam, then it has to be preceded by kasra. You say bayti. Same thing here. Get rid of this alif lam and put ya al-mutakallam. It will be madrasati. My school. Soap, get rid of alif lam, put ya al-mutakallam. Have to be suqi, my marketplace. Suqi. Ya al-mutakallam is always preceded by kasra. It has to be preceded by kasra. They don't like ya al-mutakallam to be preceded by a fatha, a dhamma. Doesn't matter if the word is supposed to have a dhamma because it's marfu'un, or it's supposed to have a fatha because it's mansubun. Doesn't matter. Whenever you put ya al-mutakallam on a noun, it has to be preceded by kasra. So pay attention to that. You're not going to see the fatta. You're not going to see the dhamma that normally would be there. Now.
I'm a dresser.
Al-madrasa is definite. Now.
Can you take the al off and make al-madrasa? It still doesn't know its ownership.
Okay, if you take off al, and you put a pronoun on the end of it, any pronoun, whether it's ya al-mutakallam or kaf or hu or ha, any pronoun, it's still definite. But it's not definite by alif lam. It's definite because it's connected to a pronoun. Because any noun that's connected to a pronoun is definite.
No.
It becomes definite by connecting it to a pronoun.
Like
my house, his house, her house. That's definite now. You're talking about a particular house. You're talking about her house. That's a specific house, right? That's not any house. Huh? When you say Beitun, that's any house. But when you say Beituha, her house is a specific house. Baytu who? His house. His house. Khalid's house. That's a specific house, right? Any pronoun you connect to a noun makes it definite. That's why, you notice when I was putting the pronoun here, I get rid of alif lam, right? Because you can't have alif lam and the pronoun together. Because both of them indicate definiteness. So you have to get rid of one of them. If you put the pronoun on here, you have to take off alif lam. If you put alif lam, you got to take off the pronoun. You can't have Al Bayti, the my house. No, the house or my house, one or the other. Okay, is it good?
No.
Tayyib. All right. So this is what I wanted to say. The brother asked the question, as we will see in the lesson, we will see some words like, as we were reading through the lesson, we saw, for example, Akhi. Akhi. So here, ach, the word ach, right, brother, achon is connected with ya al mutakallam. So whenever you put ya al mutakallam, if you said uhibbu, right, uhibbu achi, we're not going to see a fatha here on ach. Why? Because we have ya al mutakallam. Because we have ya al mutakallam. So whenever you see ya al mutakallam on a noun, you're not going to see the fatha that indicates it's mansub. Because the ya al mutakallam is going to take precedence. And it must be preceded by kasra. It must be preceded by kasra. Okay, let's look at this last exercise. That being said, inshallah, look at the last exercise on page 62. Iqra, this is a reading exercise. You don't have to write it, but if you write it, it's better for practicing your handwriting. Iqra, okay. Number one, who take the first one? Hanif, number one. Uhibbu abi wa ummi. What does it mean?
I love my father and my mother.
I love my father and my mother. Number two. Naam, Bilal.
Uhibbu abi
wa ummi. One more time. It's okay. It's okay. I just didn't hear you good. Uhibbu wa uhibbu. Uhibbu with dhamma. Uhibbu. Uhibbu akhi wa ukhti. What does it mean? Akhi. I love my brother and my sister. What is the meaning of brother? Brother in Arabic. What's the word for brother in Arabic? Akh. Naam. Akhi is brother? Akhi is what? My brother. Brother is? Akh or akhun. Akh. When you say akhi, that means my brother. But brother itself is akh. And sister is? Ukht. Ukhtun. Naam. Type number three. Number three. Naam, Ibrahim.
Uhibbu zamili.
What is the meaning of zamil? Zamil. Classmate or associate. Someone who works with you or someone who studies with you? Your classmate or associate? Zamil. Does zamil mean friend?
No.
Not really. No. Friend is what? Sadiq. Or?
Khalil.
Khalil is very dear friend. Naam. Or Rafiq. Rafiq. But zamil does not really mean friend. That's a mistake that commonly people say zamil, friend. But zamil is not friend. Zamil is the person who works with you or a person who goes to school with you. That's zamil. Alright? So he said, Uhibbu zamili. Meaning what, Ibrahim?
I love my classmate.
Number four. Naam, Ahmed.
Uhibbu
ustadi. Meaning?
I love my teacher.
Number five. Naam, Sadiq. Uhibbu Allah. Meaning? Number six. Number six, Abdurrahim.
Uhibbu Nabiya.
Ha, jayyid. Uhibbu an Nabiya. Uhibbu an Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, uhibbu an Nabiya. Why is it an Nabiya? It's mansoob. Because the object of the verb is maful and be. It's the object of the verb, mansub. The sign is mansub is fatta. And nabi becomes an nabiya. Uhibbu an nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. Same with uhibbu Allah. Uhibbu an nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number seven. Number seven. Naam, Ibrahim. Arabiyyah or Arabiyyata? That has two dots of ta marbuta. Uhibbu
اللغة العربية. أحب اللغة العربية. ها؟ أحب اللغة العربية. What does it mean? I love the Arabic language. All right, we're going to go back quickly to the dialogue or the beginning of this lesson. We're going to go back just for a few minutes to the beginning of this lesson. Arabic text in the beginning of the lesson. We want to look at this from the perspective of grammar. Taib, I'm going to ask you some questions about grammar. You can look at the text, read it with us, but try to pay attention to the meaning of some of these things, okay? Grammatical points. هذا بيتي. هذا بيتي. Meaning what? This is my house. هذا in this sentence is what? In this sentence. What is this grammatical position or explanation, huh? Is it a preposition? Okay, it is. هذا is the ism ishara. But here in this sentence, remember we said the sentence is in Arabic there are two types of sentence, right? There's a jumla ismiya, a sentence that begins with a noun, and a jumla fi'liya, a sentence that begins with a verb. The jumla ismiya has two parts. It has mubtada and khabar. The mubtada is the thing that you start with, right? That you want to talk about. And the khabar is what you want to say about it. Alright? So hadha in this sentence is the mubtada. And bayti is the khabar. Hadha is what you want to talk about. Hadha, what about it? It is my house. Hadha, bayti. This is my house. Okay, pay attention to the mubtada and the khabar. Pay bayti amam al masjidi. Bayti amam al masjidi. My house is in front of the masjid. Where's the mubtada in the sentence? Bayti. Bayti consists of two parts. Bayt and ya al mutakallam. What's the relationship between these two parts? Bayti. Bayt and ya al mutakallam. What's the relation between them? Okay, but in Arabic, what is the word that we use for this? He said it shows ownership. I want to use a different word. It's mudafun, mudafun ilay. Bayti. Whenever you have a noun with a connected to a pronoun, okay, then that means that it's mudaf, mudafun ilay. The house of me, my house.
You know, I was in school and I said that. And he said, that's not mudaf, mudafun ilay. That's what my teacher told me. I said, it's not.
Yeah.
No, that's not.
It's because he didn't know Arabic. He's faking. Fronting. Freestyling. Allah Musta'an. Bayti. Yani the house of me. My house. Amam al masjidi. Okay, amama. What kind of word is this? Is this a preposition or is it something else? Amam al masjidi. Remember we had these words back in lesson 5 or 6. Amama and khalfa. And fauqa and tahta. It indicates position. They're not prepositions. They're zarf. 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 Zarf al-makan. Indicating position in front of, behind, above and below. These are indicating position to the right and to the left. These are not prepositions. They're zarf, and the noun that comes after it is in idalfa to it. That's why it's majrur, not because it's a preposition. Okay, pay attention. Words that indicate position, something is in front of, behind, above, below, to the right or to the left, those are words that indicate position, those are called zarf. Zarf. Zarf al-makan. There's a zarf al-makan and zarf al-makan and zaman. Okay, so we're saying here, this is zarf al-makan, indicating position. Amam al-masjidi. Where is my house? It is in front of the masjid. بيتي جميل. Where's the khabar in this sentence? بيتي جميل. What is the khabar? جميل. نعم. بيتي is the مبتدا. Or rather, really, بيت is the مبتدا, and يا is مضاف إليه, and جميل is the khabar. جميل is the khabar. طيب. بيتي جميل.
go, we go down. Fihi hadiqatun saghiratun. Hadiqatun saghiratun. Saghiratun in the sentence is what? It's an adjective. In Arabic it's what? A knot. And what's the man'ut? Hadiqa. Listen up, brothers and sisters. Hadiqatun saghiratun. Saghiratun is a what?
A knot.
A knot. And what is it describing? Hadiqatun. Hadiqatun is the man'ut. Remember knot and man'ut? What lesson do we have that in? Eight. Lesson eight. Or somewhere thereabout. Ibrahim says eight. I'll put it on you. Naam. Hadiqatun, saghiratun. What are the rules of knot and man'ut?
They must agree.
They must agree in how many things?
Arba.
In four things. How many did we take? Three. What are those three things? They have to agree in what? First.
Gender.
Meaning what? What does that mean, gender? Masculine and feminine. If it's masculine, if the man oath is masculine, then not describing it has to be masculine. If it's feminine, it has to be feminine. You have to agree in gender, masculine and feminine. What else?
Definite
or indefinite. If the man oath is definite, then not describing it has to also be definite. If it's indefinite, it has to be indefinite. What else?
Case
ending, Arab. Naam, has to agree case ending. If the man'ut is marfu'un, then not describing it must be what?
Marfu'un
like it. Mansub, mansub, majrur, majrur. So here we have hadikatun, saghiratun. Hadikatun is definite or indefinite?
Indefinite.
Go ahead, akhi. He's pulling you out of here without permission. Allahu musta'an. Hadikatun is definite or indefinite?
Indefinite.
It's masculine or feminine?
It's
feminine. How do we know it's feminine? Is it marfu'un or majrurun?
Marfu'un.
How do we know it's marfu'un? Because it's what?
Dhamma.
Because of Dhamma. That's how we know it's marfu'un, because of Dhamma. طيب hadikatun saghiratun. Hadihi gurfati. فيها نافذة كبيرة ومروحة جميلة هذا سريري وهذا كرسي وهذا مكتبي ساعتي وقلمي وكتابي على المكتب طيب المكتب What is the المكتب in this sentence? على المكتب No, not the meaning of it. What is it in this sentence? What can we say about it? على المكتب It's مجرور Why is it مجرور? Because what? Because it's preceded by a preposition. Ala. Ala al-maktabi. Now what did you say is what? Is it the khabar? Or is it ala al-maktabi the khabar? The jaw al-majroor. Which one do you want? Ala al-maktabi. Ala al-maktabi is the khabar. Ala al-maktabi is the khabar. Together. The khabar here is the jaw al-majroor. Both of them together is the khabar. Tayyib. Ala al-maktabi. So, where is the mubtada in this sentence then? In the sentence that we just read, what is the mubtada? What is the thing that we're talking about? Sa'ati. The sa'a, and the ya al-mutakallam is mudawfa ilayhi, and the rest of those words are ma'atuf with wow. Okay, we didn't talk about that, so I don't want to go into a discussion about it, but I'll just say this. Whenever you have a noun that's connected in a sentence with another noun, and what connects them is wow. Wow al-atif. Because there's different types of wow, right? The wow al-atif means the wow that means end. My pen and my book and my watch, huh? End. These words are connected by end. This conjunction end in Arabic is called wow al-atif. That wow al-atif, it connects words together and they all take the same ruling. Meaning whatever comes after the wow is taking the same rule as what's before it. So if you said sa'ati wa qalami, qalami has to be in the same ruling as sa'ati. But it's connected to it by wow al-atif, okay? As opposed to another wow al-qasam. What is wow al-qasam? That's the wow they use to make an oath. Like for example, you say what?
Wal-qamar,
wallahi. Naam, wow here is not the conjunction. It's the what? Word of taking an oath, wa'al al-qasam. You say, wallahi. That means you're making an oath, right? You're swearing by Allah. Naam. That's a different waw. But the waw we're talking about that we have seen here is waw al-ataf. In this sentence here and in these chapters that we have covered so far, is waw al-ataf means a noun is connected to another noun, or even a verb could be connected to another verb by waw al-ataf.
They translated by saying that means by.
By Allah?
Like that.
No, but what, by Allah meaning what? I swear by Allah. I understand, but by Allah doesn't mean anything. It means I swear by Allah. Naam. It's an oath. It's waw al-qasam. I swear by Allah. Wallahi. This is something that we should never do except for some need or necessity. We don't take Allah's name lightly. I swear by Allah, I ate breakfast. I swear by Allah, I went to the store. What is this nonsense? You swear by Allah to what? That you ate breakfast? You swear by Allah on something of importance. Allah's name is weighty. We don't just use Allah's name lightly. Some of the people, every sentence is, wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. Everything wallahi? Then what weight does it have? What significance does it have when you say it every time you speak? Then if you swear by Allah, nobody even listen to you. Then he just says that, like nothing. Just like we do, right? We say, when you see somebody, what's happening? What's happening? You don't really want to know what's happening. You just kalam. It's just talking, right? What's happening? What's happening? Are you really asking for the news? It's just introductory kalam, right? You just say what's happening. That's what you mean, what's happening, man? And then he goes on to say something else. He didn't tell you what's happening. He starts saying something else.
What's up?
Sky is up, now. Allah. Naam. Alright, Tayyib. The last thing I want to say here. In this lesson, we had this sentence near the end. The last three lines. لي أخ واحد اسمه أسامة ولي أخت واحدة اسمها سعاد. This word لي, what does it mean? لي أخ واحد. I have. Okay, so suppose I said عندي أخ واحد. Doesn't عندي means I have also? If I said عندي قلم وكتاب, can I say that?
No.
What does عندي قلم means?
I
have. Okay, so what's the difference between لي أخ and عندي كتاب? Both of them mean I have. What's the difference?
لي is for things that are inseparable.
لي is for things that are inseparable.
Like family or body parts.
Okay, body parts or family. And عند separable, things that are separable. Like your house, your car, your book, your pen, anything that's separable. Yeah, something that doesn't belong to you. Andy means I have with me. Andy qalamun. Andy qalamun. I have a pen, right? But the pen maybe belongs to Bilal. I borrowed it from him. But it's with me right now. Andy qalamun. Naam. Doesn't necessarily mean belong, but it means it's with you. You have it with you. Andy. Alright? The difference between Andy and Li, Andy means I have with me something that's separable. But if I say li, I'm not talking about a pen or a book. I'm talking about I have a brother, I have a sister, I have a mother, father, I have a nose, I have a mouth. There's things that are inseparable. Okay, so pay attention to the difference between these two words. Because really, when we translate them, translation is exactly the same. But in Arabic usage, they're not used the same. You have to pay attention. People, we use them freely, and then that means that we may be using them wrongly. Okay, I wanted to go to the next lesson, but it's late now. So I'll just look at the key for the next lesson quickly, just so that you can begin to look at it for homework. The key is on page 30. No, the English key on page 30 for lesson number 12. I just want to look at the key quickly. And for homework, inshallah, you should write out the exercises that we had in class today. And you should, lesson number 12. Lesson number 12. The key is on page 30 and 31. Okay, for homework, you should write up the exercise that we did in class today. You should read this key that we're going to read right now. Reread it a few times, as much as you need to understand it. It's brief, it's not containing that much. And also read the dialogue in the beginning of lesson 12. Read the dialogue in the beginning of lesson 12. If you do some of the exercises, alhamdulillah, that will be just fine. But at least read the key, read the dialogue, How many exercises are there in this lesson? There are only 6 exercises. So at least try to do the first 2 or 3 exercises, inshallah. Okay, lesson number 12, page 30, English key. In this lesson, we learn the following. Number 1, we have learned before, anta, which means you, for masculine singular, right? Now we learn anti, you for feminine singular. For example, min aina anti, ya aminatu, where are you from? O amina, min aina anti. Before we had anta, right? And now we have anti. Tayyib. The possessive pronoun from anti is ki. What do we mean by possessive pronoun? We mean, for example, aina baytu ki, ya Maryamu. Aina baytu ki. Where's your house, Maryam? Okay, so anti, if you're speaking directly to an individual, female, you say anti. Right? If you are using a possessive pronoun to show she owns something, you say kitabu ki, baytu ki, zawju ki. Huh? Like this, okay? So anti, in possessive pronoun, it will be ki. Like anta is ka. Anti is ki. Alright? So this is what we're going to take in this lesson. In this lesson, we're going to start looking at in this lesson, next lesson, next few lessons, feminine forms of nouns, pronouns, and so on. Okay? Verbs, we're going to look at verb forms, feminine forms. So in the next few lessons, we're going to focus a lot on things related to feminine. Okay, in the past we had the pronouns and nouns and things mostly for masculine. So now we're going to look at verb forms, nouns, pronouns, and so on, feminine forms. Okay, we have already learned, number 2, we have already learned that the possessive pronoun from anta is ka. For example, aina baytuka ya bilalu. Where's your house, Bilal, O Bilal? We have already learned, dhahaba, he went. Zahabtu, I went, and zahabta, you went. Meaning, we had these verb forms before. Huh? Zahaba, zahabta, zahabtu, we had these verb forms. Now we want to look at feminine verb forms. And we said before that the feminine of zahaba is zahabat, but we didn't have a lesson on it. So now we're going to see a lesson on it. Now we learn zahabat, she went, as opposed to zahaba, he went. Aina Aminatu dhahabat ila al-jami'ati. Where's Amina? She went to the university. If the subject is mentioned, the pronoun she has to be dropped. For example, dhahabat Maryamu ila al-madrasati. Maryam went to the school. What do we mean by that? We mean, if you say dhahabat ila al-jami'ati, it means what? She went to the university. But if you said dhahabat Maryamu, the subject now is mentioned. Who? She is who? Maryam. So when you mention a subject, the fa'il, the one that's doing the action, then the pronoun she is no longer needed. You don't say dhahabat Maryamu, she Maryam went. You just say Maryam went. Okay? If you said dhahabat without the fa'il Maryam, you say she went. But if you say dhahabat Maryam, you don't say she Maryam went. You just say Maryam went. Is that clear? Is that clear? When you have the verb form, okay? When you have a verb form, and the subject is mentioned after the verb, then you don't have to use the pronoun he or she. You use that subject that's mentioned after it. Maryam or Bilal or whatever. Okay? Zahabat Maryam ila madrasati. Maryam went to the madrasa. In Zahabat, the last letter, ta has sukoon. Normally, right? Zahabat, it has sukoon, the ta. If a verb like this is followed by alif lam, the sukoon is changed to kasra. For example, you do not say zahabat al bintu. You say zahabatil bintu. Zahabatil. Originally it's sukoon zahabat al bint. But because the zahabat feminine singular, third person form of the verb zahabat, because it originally has sukoon, if it's followed by alif lam, we change the sukoon to kasra. And what is the reasoning why we change it to kasra, if it's followed by alif lam? What is the reasoning behind this? Whoever knows the answer to this question, inshallah, we'll get one of those pies in that box there. Whose pies are those?
Everybody.
Everybody's? Okay, so everybody's going to get some anyway, right? Okay, answer the question. Pies with shem, inshallah. Somebody give me the answer. Somebody help me, please. Yeah. Huh? It's for connection, Naam. It's for the, what is the question? Okay, for those who are sleeping, I'm going to ask the question again. Zahabat. Zahabat has sukoon, right? That sukoon if that sukun is followed by a word that has alif lam, we don't leave it as sukun, we change it to kasra. Huh? When it's followed by alif lam. Why is it changed to kasra? Naam.
So you don't pause.
I mean, maybe you could say without pausing anyway. You could say ذهبت and put alif lam. It's possible. It's not for you don't pause. Huh? Hamzat al wasl is in alif lam. It's related to that. But why though? Yeah. Huh? Huh? Two sukun. He says two sukuns. Look. Here you have ذهبت, right? ذهبت. That's sukun. And then you have alif lam. That's also sukun, right? Because hamzatul wasl in alif lam is only a connector, right? It's only to connect what's before to what's after it. How can you connect two sukuns to each other? That's not permissible in Arabic. It's called iltiqa sakinain. When two sukuns meet, it's prohibited in Arabic. You have to put a vowel on there. We saw this before. Remember we had min, right? Min, which has sukun. Min. Al-Bayt, we said you can't do this because two sukun. So you say what? Put fatta here. Min al-Bayt. Huh? Men al-Akh. Men. You have men, right? Men has sukun. Men al-Akh. Who is the brother? You can't put sukun and sukun. So you do what? Put kasra. If it has fatta, if it has kasra with sukun, if it has kasra, you add fatta. If it has fatta, you add kasra. Remember we had this before. We had these words before. That's because iltiqa as-sakinain. Two sukun letters, you can't connect them. So you have to put vowel on the one before hamzatul wasl. Tayyib Abdul Haq, he said two sukuns. So he have to make sure he have to get some of this bean pie. Jazakallah khair. Tayyib, okay. Number three. We have already learned alladhi, who or which for masculine singular. Alladhi means who if you're talking about a person, it means which if you're talking about a thing, right? Now we learn allati for feminine singular. For example, at-talibatu allati jalasat amama al-mudarrisati min Almania. Right? The girl student who sat in front of the lady teacher is from Germany. Is from Germany. At-talibatu allati. Allati is the feminine form of alladhi. Huh? Means who? If it's in reference to a person, it means which? If it's in reference to a thing. If you say as-sa'atu allati, you don't say the watch who. You say the watch which. When you're talking about things, you say which. When you're talking about people, you say who. As-sa'atu allati ala al-mattabi lil-mudarrisi. The watch which is on the table belongs to the teacher. Alright, so we have alladhi, now we have allati. Last point, we have learned kitabuka, your book. Note, now note, kitabuka anta. Hada kitabuka anta. This is your book. Here anta has been added for emphasis. This is used in case there is doubt or dispute. Okay, if somebody said what? Hada kitabuka. أنت هذا كتابك أنت. If somebody said هذا كتابك, that means this is your book, right? So if they said هذا كتابك أنت, what does that mean? This is your book, your book?
Are you sure this is your book?
It's used for emphasis, تأكيد. If you say هذا كتابك, that means this is your book. But if you put anta, anta means the same as ka, right? Ka. The possessive pronoun ka represents anta. Just like ya, al-mutakallim represents ana. Right? So if you say, hadha kitabi ana. I said kitabi, it means my book. Why am I saying ana? That's for emphasis. Okay? In case of question, doubt, or dispute. Like if somebody came over here and took this, and said, هذا قلمي. And somebody else will say, لا, هذا قلمي أنا. That means, no, this is my pen.
Surety.
Huh? If there's any doubt, I'm making it clear to you. This kit, call on me, Anna. This is my pen. Huh? No, this is not your pen. This is my pen. Huh? That's how you emphasize the matter, okay? So just don't be confused when you see the pronoun, possessive pronoun, ka, or who, or ha, or e, any one of them, and then followed by the independent pronoun. That means the same thing. If somebody said, hadha kitabuhu huwa, kitabuhu means his book. Huwa also is him, right? So it's the same thing. It's just repeated for emphasis. So a person may say, hadha baituha hiya. This means this is her house, with definiteness, with certainty, for emphasis. Alright? So he says here what? Here, anta has been added for emphasis. This is used in case there is doubt or dispute. Note also, hadha baituhu huwa. Hadha qalami ana. Thalika kitabuha hiya. And so on. Okay, so the pronoun that follows the separate independent pronoun follows the possessive pronoun is just used for emphasis. It's repeated for emphasis. Any question? Okay, somebody remind me next week, inshallah, in the beginning of the lesson, when we start the lesson, before we read the dialogue, to go over the vocabulary. And if you have any questions, inshallah, in the beginning of the class, we'll take them. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.